Hi, everybody at a hostel. That's something I never thought I'd say in a microphone. We're at Hosteling International. I'm glad to actually be here. That's another thing I thought I'd never say. But it actually is a nice place. There's no bedbugs, and I was shocked by that. Lots of bedbugs in New York. I'm saying there's not bedbugs here. That's a good thing. That's something you need to put on a flyer. Hey, no bedbugs. Deal with that, rest of the city. Speaking of the city, I'm not a big fan of New York, but I'm starting to come around to it. The first time I came to New York, it took 18 hours on an Amtrak train from Chicago. That's not a good start to a new city. It's the opposite of a good start. I was too young to drink alcohol legally, and I also didn't drink alcohol all the time. Once again, not the best of decisions. I spent a lot of time walking around, getting angry that I couldn't afford anything. And not much has changed with that, except now I don't have to deal with bedbugs. The first time I stayed in New York, I didn't have a place to stay. I ended up staying in Spanish Harlem. Don't go there, people at the hostel. It's getting better, but it's not there yet. It's 30 years from gentrification. Gentrification, for those of you not from America, I won't do that. That's mean. But no, we're in a hostel. It's fun to be in a hostel because you get to see people that you never thought you'd see before. I saw a teen from Denmark, and I like saw her legally. That's not something you could usually do in the States. It's fun, and I'm leaning on a leather couch, and there's no cocaine here. You know, that's not usual for New York. Do you know what cocaine is, sir? Fantastic, I'm sure you do. You like indie rock and roll music. I can tell by the stickers on your computer. Not indie. He's a liar, ladies and gentlemen, that delightful man. Here's another thing I learned about hostels. The type of person that stays in a hostel, not ugly. Shockingly not ugly. I'm from Chicago. Lots of uggos there. I'm not saying New York is pretty. I'm saying the people that stay in hostels aren't uggos. So if you're a single lady or gent, this might be a place to visit and the thing. And then see, that's a New York accent I just coined. Me and Woody Allen coined that 40 years ago. Speaking of Woody Allen, who likes teens? You like teens, buddy? They're good at... Yeah, me and this guy, we're going to be fast friends with the teen talk. No, this isn't a bad city. I'm actually starting to understand where everything is. I'm pronouncing housed in the correct way, kind of. Uptown actually means up north. Downtown actually means downtown, not west or east from the river. There's a lot of rivers in the Midwest. That's okay. I like rivers, too. Rivers Cuomo, that's another guy that likes the Asians like Woody Allen. You see where I'm going with this? It's cyclical, and really what we need to talk about is teens. Teens are the best. They're going to... Asian teens. See, this guy said Asian teens. I'm saying all teens. Don't be racist and sexist, guy, okay? You got to be open to teens of all teens, not ages, just teens. What if you're like 100 and teen? Do those exist? Are there any old teens? I like those guys, too. That's the only acceptable crazy racist you'll get, like 110-year-old, like, whatever, I hate nuts. Okay, fine. I should have said, like, pistachios. I shouldn't have said nuts as a general thing. Brian, are you still glad you're doing this show? Fantastic. Thanks for doing it, buddy. I met Brian, kind of meeting Brian, on a stage a few weeks ago. And the reason why I'm no longer as impressed with Brian is because there was about the same amount of people at that show that there are at this show. So I feel like it's okay for me to do that. Brian, for the listener at home, brought along some people. And right before we started this recording, I said, I'm impressed simply by the people you hang out with. They are well-dressed. They're holding a newspaper. They're giving me the look of disapproval. That's the kind of look I need to see every day, you know? That's not the kind of look I get in Washington, D.C. You would think Washington, D.C. is an international city. It's not. It really isn't. It's technically the nation's capital. Not really, because the nation is way better than overpriced shitty food and things like that. Here's the good thing about New York. The shitty food is really expensive, and the stuff that has, like, roaches and rats everywhere, pretty good and cheap. Yelp it. You know what Yelp is, Brian? Fantastic. We're on a roll. I have no idea where this is going or where it started or where it was supposed to go. This is what happens when you prepare, and then you just forget everything. Speaking of Yelp, what about Yelp? You had something to say? Oh, could you Yelp this show? Are we on Yelp? You, Me, Them, Everybody is the name of the show. We're technically on Yelp. How did that happen? Why are we on Yelp? Oh, yeah. We do stuff in other cities. That's right. This is fun. This is different. I'm having a good time. I'm actually very happy to be here. We're here for a music festival. It's called CMJ, stands for College Music Journal Festival, and it's this festival that was started 30 years ago. And 30 years ago, it was extremely important, and it exposed a lot of people to bands like the Red Hot Chili Peppers in like 1985, you know, before they had all the money to do all the heroin. They had like to save up to do like really bad drugs. Like it took them a long time to reach that pinnacle, which they have reached. And since then, a lot of other music festivals have sprouted up. There's South by Southwest, your Sasquatch music festivals, your 3-day long Lollapaloozas, things like that. So CMJ has kind of been marginalized. So all you get are these bands from Brooklyn who may be very, very good, bands from LA and bands from England. And it's extremely disappointing to think that, like, oh my God, that's all there is in music. That's not all there is in music, ladies and gentlemen. It's just that people are extremely poor, and places like hostels are places where you can actually come and afford to stay in a city. I'm pandering to a building at this point, I just realized. That doesn't make any sense. Why are we doing this? That's really what's been running through my head for years. Why are we doing this? And I know exactly why we're doing this. We're doing this because I have very good taste, okay? You cannot tell it by my dress or my speak. Yeah, I said speak. Or my haircut. He's fucking ribbing me, and English isn't even his first language, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I'm just looking at my script. That's exactly what I'm doing. Oh, I had so many plans today. Oh, well. No, but I have extremely good taste, and when I say I have a good taste, it means I only ask people I really enjoy to do the show, and that's what we have. We have three people I really, really enjoy. We have Brian Moylan. I can't believe Lauren is here. Lauren Vina, who I've known for years, who lives in Chicago, who moved this week to Harlem because she's also making a mistake. Yeah, and Mindy Raff, and like this is going to be a really, really fun show. Esmeralda's here; she's the co-host. Peter's here; he's technically the band. He's more of a producer, but he's technically the band because he has a guitar. So, Peter, play something so I could walk 3 feet to my left. Thank you. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening to the show. I really appreciate it. I'm butting in to let you know that I write a weekly column for this website called Brightest Young Things. The name of the column is called Behind the Desk, and it's pretty much whatever is applicable to this talk show or talk shows in general, things that I find fascinating. It goes up once a week at brightestyoungthings.com, and you can find every column at youmethemeverybody.com. So if you haven't been to the website in a while, that's an excuse to go. Once again, it's called Behind the Desk. It's a weekly column I write, and I'd really appreciate it if you gave it a glance. Thanks for listening, and back to the show. It's so bad. It's so bad. Oh, it's the worst part of the show when you play guitar. Jesus. Thanks. Peter. Okay. Merle, how are you?
I'm great.
Good.
Good.
Last night we did a show, and Merle said, I have a very busy Thursday planned. I'm going to wake up early, and I'm going to see Anderson Cooper. How was Anderson Cooper, Esmeralda?
I didn't go. I just went to sleep.
Fantastic. You slept through the one thing you wanted to see.
I know. The one thing I had planned. I was like, I'm coming to New York, and I'm seeing him.
So you kind of had an accidental intervention of Anderson Cooper.
What do you mean?
Well, you didn't see Anderson Cooper, and it was for the best.
I still might.
How are
he
you?
He takes the train.
Oh, you mean literally see him like as a person walking
around? Yeah, that's all I want to do.
Oh, you don't care about the show?
No.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
I just want to look at him.
Why do you want to look at him? You can see him on the TV.
Yeah, it's different.
What about him makes him good looking, Esmeralda?
Those eyes.
Really?
He has really pretty eyes.
You're an eye woman?
Yeah, that's all I look at.
Okay.
Just slap a burqa on him.
I'm a big fan of Sharia law, so it makes total sense that you're saying this. We do news stories because that's what shows do. What are our news stories for the evening?
So, in Ohio, gangs of Amish men are cutting other Amish men's beards just to do it out of spite because in Amish, they're...
Beard.
Yes, in Amish beards. No, in their thing, they think the beard is the height of masculinity. So this gang of dudes run by a man named Sam Mullet.
Really?
He is, yeah.
That
He's
is
running
the best.
Around and just slicing people's beards off.
Okay, I'm assuming these guys can't use electric razors.
No, because the beard's their thing.
I get that. So Amish people are cutting off other Amish beards.
Oh, with probably scissors that they made themselves.
Oh, okay. So, but that seems extremely hard to, like, trap somebody so that you could just shave their beard.
Not if it's a gang of them.
That is true. So that is a gang activity.
But there's an epidemic. So if you're Amish and you have your beard...
I don't think you understand the definition of epidemic.
I don't.
It's just a very funny thing that's happening. Where is it happening? In Pennsylvania?
It's in Ohio.
In Ohio. I'm sorry I didn't listen to your entire story.
All the Amish. I just find Sam Mullet is running around.
Do you think that...
Terrorizing these poor Amish people.
Do you think
probably
beards
handmade
are
scissors.
What make the man? Are you
no,
a beard woman?
No, because you know what? I was actually thinking about this. My boyfriend, he can't grow a beard. He would make a terrible Amish man.
Yeah.
They wouldn't think he was
How
a man.
How are his eyes?
Gorgeous.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I didn't know that about
him. He has
very
pretty eyes.
Oh, that's nice.
They're like oceans.
What if I beat the shit out of him and he just has to wear patches for the rest of his life? Would you still date him?
No.
Okay, good. I'm glad that you're not vain. Continue.
That's all I do. I just stare at his eyes. Nothing else.
So you really don't care how big or little someone is anywhere.
No,
it's
just I
about
do.
The, okay, good. Continue.
No, I do.
All right.
Why? So, what?
Next
I'm
story.
Incredibly shallow.
Okay, good.
So I didn't know this before, but did you know that Vincent Van Gogh killed himself?
Yeah, everyone did.
Who Wait, did you? Know? Did you all know this?
Yes.
Okay, then. Well, I guess I didn't know. Well, now there's new news. Breaking news. Vincent Van Gogh might have been murdered. I don't know how they
if
find
crippling
this.
Crippling depression counts as
murder.
So they, yeah,
no, wait,
he was
no,
murdered.
No. They say that, so the story was he shot himself in the stomach, and that's how he killed himself. But now there's new theories out. I don't know how they find new evidence, but there's a new theory that some children accidentally shot him. Children accidentally shot him in the stomach, and then Vincent Van Gogh was like, don't say anything, because he wanted to die anyway.
Was he handing out guns to children?
No, so, okay. So what
is this
was,
like when you rob a bank and you have, like, cancer and you can't afford chemo, so you're just like, I'll just get the cops to kill
I
me.
I have nothing to live for.
Yeah.
No, this just, it was accidental. He was accidentally shot.
How do they prove that?
I don't know. But
that's
it's
a
in
fib,
a new book.
Merle. That's a fib.
No, 60 Minutes is covering it.
Okay.
That means it's true.
60 Minutes has been true about everything ever, so that's good.
They're on CBS.
They are on
to
CBS. They are pretty old.
But I just, my favorite thing about this story is at the end, the man who I guess is telling about mm-hmm. this, he says, these kids basically had done him the favor of shooting him.
Yeah. So those are pretty good kids.
This makes me feel really bad for Vincent Van Gogh.
You didn't feel bad for Vincent Van Gogh?
Because he done got an ear, and the poor man
wait,
didn't sell any paintings.
You think a man that cut off his own ear was happy?
No, like, he wasn't, without... but still, I just feel bad for him. He got shot by some kids.
He cut his own ear off because he
I think
wanted
it was,
to.
I think it's sad that the story is now he just got shot by some kids and not that he shot himself.
I think it's funnier.
Yeah, no, but not, come on. He needs some pride.
No, you don't.
And he
don't.
Has none now.
Once you cut off your own ear, you lose all pride.
I don't think so.
Why?
He ripped his ear off.
The kids are also responsible for the ear. This guy's pretty good.
They accidentally shot his ear off.
Wait, what country are you from, buddy? Russia.
Oh, Russia.
Ooh, they don't have a lot of sensitivity for people without ears in Russia, do they, sir? They do have... Are you guys missing a lot of ears in Russia? You want to investigate? This guy's good, man. What's your day job? Yeah, what's your day job? That's why you're traveling in America. Welcome, buddy.
All right, so the other thing I found out was this article about stupid things parents do to put their kids at risk.
Give them guns.
None of them are anything that's even remotely bad.
Oh, well, give me one example.
Letting a baby sleep in their swing.
Why is that bad?
Because I guess the oxygen stops running to certain places and then they might die.
Okay, that's bad then, Esmeralda.
Oh, millions of years have gone by with those stupid babies swinging
there
in their little swings.
No, there weren't swings for babies millions of years ago.
You put
Not even
the tire.
Millions of millenniums ago,
yeah,
okay?
You put them in the tire.
Not even one millennium ago was there a swing for a baby.
I'm sure people fashion swings and those babies are fine.
All right.
They grew up.
Thank you.
I
hope you never breed and you just stare in people's eyes. For the
well, if
of your
I
life.
Breed, I'll probably do something horrible and then they probably will die.
Are you.
Cut like, that out later so there's
no case against
me.
No,
when
I just want you to make it perfectly clear that you will pull a Casey Anthony at any given moment.
No! Unless they're stupid kids.
So
but,
you're
you know.
Going to definitely pull a Casey Anthony?
No.
3 years in.
Only if I can get away with it.
She got away with it.
Yeah, but that was really, you know.
You know why? She worked out. She took care of her body. And that's
she was
a really
a
important
lady.
Lesson, Hostel. You got to take care of your body. It's the only body you get. Mr. Rogers would have said the same thing.
So only good-looking people
yeah.
get away with murder.
Yeah.
And they stay in hostels.
No, they don't murder in hostels.
No, but I'm saying good-looking people. That's the theme here.
Well, the people in hostels usually don't have a three or they're about to murder.
No, but
they're
good
usually
looking.
In Florida.
No, I'm not even. I'm just good-looking.
Yeah,
that was the theme.
Looking. It's so weird to like.
You can get away with murder, and you can stay in hostels.
Not do both, though.
But, well, you know, one after the other.
That's a tricky tricky formula right now that
well,
I'm
it could
not
happen.
Really following.
Okay. Okay, so the last thing is I had some pizza today.
You did? Did you have some New York pizza?
I did.
How was it?
It was delicious. It was down the street at Sal and Carmine's.
Would you give it a good Yelp review?
Yeah. It was given to me, but I believe was the man in Carmine.
Oh.
And he kind of mumbled at me and asked me what I wanted.
Oh, that's nice.
And then he slapped a piece of pizza on a paper plate. And
that's
then
very nice.
Put it in
hey,
the
guys, I hate to break in. But
Peter, what's up?
I just wanted to remind everyone that we're in New York City right
New
now.
New York City, the city that doesn't sleep.
That's right.
It's the
That's
Big
right.
Apple, Peter.
The Big Easy.
It is the Big Easy.
That's right.
It's the home of the Golden Arches, too.
That's the City of Lights.
Yeah, it is a city of lost angels.
City of lost children.
It is a city of lost children. City of God.
You know what my favorite saying about New York City is?
What's that?
Welcome to Miami.
Welcome to Miami. You know what year we are? We're 11 years into this year's millennium.
That's right.
This millennium.
My question about the millennium is why, is this the first millennium?
Or exactly. How many millenniums? Do creationists believe there's only been two millenniums?
Is this the first of many millenniums?
Exactly.
Millennia.
Millennia, that's very true.
That's right.
It's a Josh Whedon show that's about to premiere on
Sci-Fi. My thing about New York is I love L.A.
I love it. I love being in the land of a thousand lakes. You can't get enough of that beautiful foliage. It's also what I like doing is going outside and seeing the Cornhuskers football team just working out all the time. That's why they're such a good team. They're very focused. I love being in the center of the Great Lakes. There's nothing more fascinating than seeing all different types of people enjoying the waterways of America.
I'll leave you with this. Mississippi burning.
Mississippi Queen.
Fuck.
You know what I mean. All right, everybody, coming to the stage, he's our first guest. We, like I said before, he's done a show with me, and I've never felt both angry and unfunny and fat for 20 minutes of my life. Please put your hands together, everybody, for Brian Moylan, everybody. Woo! Brian Moylan. Brian, how would you describe Peter's guitar playing?
Lousy.
Brian, you work for Gawker.
I do.
Is it okay if I call you snarky?
No, I really hate that word.
Why do you hate the word snarky? Because it describes exactly what you are?
No, I think I hate the word snarky in the same way that I hate the word like douchebag, in that like it used to mean something, but people have applied it to so many things that it really has like no more intrinsic meaning, that it's just sort of like meaningless. And I think that snarky sort of is defined by a reflexive meanness. And I'm not mean to everything. I'm just mean to things that deserve it.
What deserves it the most?
Oh, my God. Douchebags. No. There are a million things that deserve it. I'm often mean to your friend Anderson Cooper. Do you want to talk about him?
Oh.
He's one of my favorite
yes,
subjects.
Yes, I do.
Well, if you want to know...
Oh, is it? Well, but it's because he doesn't, you know, he's not his true self, is
That's
he?
True. But if you want to know where to find him, he's easy to find. He's all around town.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to stop
Where does he
later.
Get lunch usually?
He goes to Boston Market. He's a huge Boston Market fan. The one on Columbus Circle.
I'm going to Boston Market tomorrow and I'm going to stake it out.
He works out at the David Barton on Astor Place with his boyfriend in the afternoons, and then he hangs out at his boyfriend's non-gay bar, which is called Bedlam. It's on Avenue C. I saw him there
I'll
once.
Be there tomorrow!
Why don't we go tonight? Does he drink late? Does he drink at all?
No, he's got a talk show to do or something.
So?
Yeah, I don't know when he films the talk show now. So.
9 a.m.
He has Anderson 360 to do.
Yeah,
that's
he's
so I'm
busy.
Sure he gets a drink
and
after
then
work.
He lives in an old firehouse.
Oh my God.
Doesn't Seinfeld as well? I think Seinfeld lives in an old firehouse. Those are
no,
so
he lives
expensive.
In New Jersey.
Seinfeld lives in Jersey?
I believe so.
Oh, that's typical. Typical. Yeah, by the way, I'd like to point out that Peter's email address is snarkypete@gmail.com.
Really?
That's literally his email address. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because I'm sure like all of our listeners care to piss you off via email. That's why we have Twitter. They could directly email us and annoy us. Anyways, you used to work for the Blade in Washington, D.C.
I did. That was my first job out of college.
Why did you do that? Did you enjoy your time
all right,
there?
Do you want to hear the story? This is one of my favorite stories. Is I was in college, and it was like the last week of college, and I was about to graduate. And then I had a summer before I was entering grad school at the University of Maryland, and I had no job. So I was like, fuck, what am I going to do? So I applied for every job in the back of the Washington City paper, because this was the 90s, so people still look for jobs in the newspaper as opposed to like on Craigslist.
You know, I write for the City paper, right?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so I applied for literally like every job in the back of the City paper, like even like ridiculous ones that I had like no point in applying for, like just I'd be like, here, send my resume. And so the only two people who called me back were the Washington Blade and the local bathhouse.
Ooh!
Which is called the Crew Club. It's on 14th Street. Still there.
14th and what?
14th and Rhode Island.
And what's it called again?
The Crew Club.
The Crew Club. C-R-E-W.
C-R-E-W.
All right, good.
And,
potential
well,
advertiser, and the Crew Club.
Back then, like 14th Street was a lot scarier than it is now.
Yeah, it's really boring there.
Yeah,
now.
It was really sketchy.
So it was nice.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was.
Did you take an interview at the Crew Club?
Well, no. So I interviewed at the Blade, and they called me up and offered me the job as I was, like, getting dressed to go to my interview at the Crew Club.
Aww.
And so I was like, sure, I'll take this job because I can tell my mother I'm working at a newspaper, but I can't tell I'm working at a bathhouse. And so I went and worked at the newspaper and, like, blew off the Crew Club.
How long were you at the Blade?
I was at the Blade for 6 years.
Wow, that's a long time. You don't look all haggard and sad. How did you get out of there?
I quit my jobs and I moved to New York.
You quit? You didn't have a job when you moved to New York?
Yes.
Do you recommend that?
Not really. I had a free apartment for 6 months. So.
Okay. Once again, how did you do that?
My best friend is Canadian, and he was going to Japan for 6 months to work. And he had to like keep his New York address for some sort of visa, whatever. So there was no one living in his apartment. So he was like, you can live in my place if you want. So I was like, great. I'm quitting my jobs and moving to New York.
So the moral of the story for the listener at home is be friends with Canadian people.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Not too many, though, because...
And then how did you get your position at... No. Let's go back. I'm sorry. What? Why not too many?
Well,
why do you hate Canadians?
I don't hate Canadians, but, you know, once you're friends with a couple of them, then all of a sudden, like, all of your friends are Canadians. Because they travel in packs, and they all know each other. It's like they have a newsletter. And it's like you're talking about, like, oh, my God, have you seen this band? And they're like, oh, they're Canadian. And it's like, how the fuck do you know that? It's like the Canadian newsletter.
They're Canadian, but the thing is they can only – that's what they have to hold on to because they're Canadian. There's
that's
nothing
true.
Else that has pride except bands that are popular.
Well,
what else
know,
are they going to be happy
teams
about?
Or I don't know what else.
Are you a big hockey fan, Brian?
Not especially.
Name two hockey teams.
The Oilers and the Red Wings.
Fantastic. Good job. How did you get your position?
I know the Hartford Whalers fight song if you want to hear it.
They don't exist anymore.
I know, but
okay.
They used to.
Sing the song.
That was the Hartford Whalers fight song.
The Whale, everybody.
Wait, it doesn't have words?
No, it was like a big band.
Oh, yeah. Most hockey teams have a big band songs. You're a very good sports aficionado. How did you get your job at Gawker?
I moved to New York and I started writing for Next Magazine for homosexuals, which is like the gay nightlife magazine in mm-hmm. New York. And while I was there, Fleshbot, which is the Gawker Media pornography blog, was looking for someone new to write about gay pornography.
Okay.
And so they, and I was actually sitting in my office reading Fleshbot. Well, I guess reading. I was looking at Fleshbot. And I was thinking, who gets to write this? That's such an awesome job. How does that happen? And then like a week later, my phone rang and it was Fleshbot. And they were like, do you want to write Fleshbot? And I was like, yes, thank you. The secret works. And so I started writing for Fleshbot. And the owner of Gawker thought my musings about homosexual pornography were funny. And so when there was an opening at Gawker, he... asked me to try out.
Can we talk about pornography for a little bit?
Oh, yes.
Okay, good.
My second favorite thing to talk about, next to Anderson Cooper.
This is the night of your life.
I know.
I don't get it.
What don't you get?
I was a women's studies major. I was a rave victim advocate. I held all these positions that made me like not like pornography, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to turn the tide because I understand that pornography has a very important role in society. I'm totally serious. And like, it's very fucking healthy to use pornography in the right ways.
True.
And when I say the right ways, we all know what I mean, and that means ejaculate with consent with yourself. That's what that means.
Right.
I can't I can't enjoy pornography. Like, I can't physically do it. Because I think of all the stats behind it, and then it's just like, oh, that's a shitty stepdad. Like, oh, that's a bad uncle. And, like, I just see those things, like, getting...
You know there's healthy ones, right?
Exactly. What are where are the healthy ones? How could I find that? How can I get over my neuroses about pornography?
I think maybe you just need to expose yourself to more of it. Or maybe you just need to, like, focus on something other than...
Before I did all that stuff, I used to be a video store clerk at 15, which means I saw every porno released between 1990 and 1998 when I worked at the video store. So I've exposed myself to lots of it. I don't think that's the issue.
Well, maybe it's just not for you.
But there's got to be something for me. There's something for everybody.
Have you tried gay porn?
No, I haven't tried gay porn.
Well.
All right, maybe I hope to be gay.
Or maybe...
You don't have to be gay to like gay porn.
No, lesbians love gay porn. Well, I guess they're gay too.
Okay.
But there are straight girls who like gay porn.
I like gay porn, not in the sexual way, just like, wow, they're good looking.
You just like attractive people, and gay people are more attractive than straight people.
As a women's studies major, like, you know, there is all of that, like, weird, like, male-female dynamic in straight porn where it's, like, women are sort of being, like, taken advantage of or oppressed or whatever, and it sounds like that may be something that upsets you a bit.
Yeah.
And that there isn't that in gay porn because it's, like, two boys or two ladies. Maybe you just need more girl and girl.
Maybe that's it.
Dominatrix.
Yeah.
No, I knew too many dominatrixes. It's ruined.
So,
I know their stories. Their stories are just as sad to me.
But no, I know what you mean. It's like because I know a handful of porn stars from my dealings in the pornography industry, and like when you know them, it's like a little bit like weird to like watch them.
On the other hand, sex workers are like the nicest people in the world.
Well, because they have to be, or else they're not going to make a living.
Really? You think it's important to be nice if you're a sex worker?
Well, imagine. Yes,
that's not a joke. That's a serious question.
Yeah, because like if one is a sex worker, like myself, I have never been a sex worker. But like if you're a sex worker and you show up, like the way you're gonna like please your client is not only like giving good head, but it's also making them feel like loved and welcome and open.
Okay, I see your point. I like where we're going with this, and let's go the opposite route.
Okay. Do you want blowjob tips?
Yeah, give me one.
Oh, be into it.
Isn't that just a light tip?
No, it is scientifically proven that the worst blowjobs are when your heart's not in it. So you just gotta make sure that.
But that is really everything.
You know what though? I gotta disagree because I thought I've read a lot of articles and blah blah blah. Even if you're not necessarily in it, if it will give your partner pleasure, it's still worth doing.
Yes. Right, but if your heart's not in it, you're not going to do a good job at it, and then you're
not
going to
enjoy any tricks to make your heart into it? Let's say you're like a 5 out of 10 when you start, but you want to end with a 10. How do we get there?
That's a good question.
I know.
Think about The Good Wife. That's usually what I do.
The television show, The Good Wife? Isn't that show so good?
I fucking love The Good Wife.
You know where it's shot.
It was one in New York.
Yeah, in Long Island City, not Chicago. Sorry, it's a Chicago-based show. It's fantastic if you haven't watched it, listener at home. It's so good.
It's so good.
Julianne Margulies is not funny, but she's such a great actress.
She is pretty, she is good.
Did you see her on the Emmys recently?
Trying to
do comedy.
Oh, what did she try to do?
It wasn't. She just, like, 4 straight jokes bombed. It was a thing of delivery, too.
She should not be a comedian.
Also, did you see her dress that night? She had, like, fucking bubbles on it.
Oh, it was awful.
It was the worst.
It was, like, Lady Gaga's spaceship or some bullshit. It was fucking awful.
Do you like Gaga?
Ish.
I feel like...
I'm a Madonna gay. I'm a little bit too old for Lady Gaga.
Could I pitch a theory to you? I think it might be good for Gawker here.
Open ears.
I love Lady Gaga and I love Glee, except the singing. I love all of the ideas behind both of those things, but it's just not the worst, but everything's like a 5 out of 10 for them. You know what I mean? Like, when you see that outfit, you're like, this is going to be great, and it's not.
No.
But it's never awful.
I like Gaga more as a concept than as a real thing. But I have a funny Lady Gaga story. I saw her in what is now Anderson Cooper's boyfriend's gay bar on Avenue C.
I thought you said it wasn't a gay bar.
Well, it's not really a gay bar, but it practically is.
Yeah,
is everyone there not out? But you totally, that's like, yeah, you should.
Well,
just
now
do
there's
it.
Like a lot of girls and like young homosexuals, which is basically like a gay bar. But anyway, Lady Gaga was there, and there were like 40 like queens all like, who is this bitch? Like, I'm trying to get laid, and there's some girl with a staff and some weird eye shit on singing some stupid song, Let's Dance. And they were, like, pissed. And now it's like if Lady Gaga went into any gay bar, she would be, like, rendered limb from limb. But well, rabid homosexual.
I understand.
Like bacon?
Like bacon.
Rendered like bacon.
I like
no?
that one.
Okay.
So.
No one renders bacon around here?
No, not I. So
we're not.
Do you try to intentionally like write snarky things, or does it just come out naturally for you? And I hope this is not an insult, because I think it's extremely hard to do what you do.
No, like I said, like I don't believe in snark because I feel like it's like reflexive meanness. Like mm-hmm. people are just like mean to everything. And so I don't try to write snarky stuff. I try to have honest reactions to things. And sometimes those are like mean reactions, and mm-hmm. sometimes they're like nice reactions.
Have you ever regretted something you've written on Gawker?
No.
Why?
Why would I regret anything?
Because somebody would have...
I mean, I only write things that I really feel strongly about or I feel are true. So, you know, I don't regret any of this.
So is that because you don't
I only regret the things that, like, aren't funny. Like, I have jokes that, like, didn't work where I'm like, oh, that could have been better. And I regret that. But I don't regret, like, any subject matter.
Would you ever become, like, a performance artist, like a storyteller or stand-up or anything like that?
I was watching Kathy Griffin because I'm that gay. And I was thinking, like, because all Kathy Griffin does now is, like, get up on stage and, like, say, like, mean, funny things about, like, celebrities and TV shows, which is, like, my entire job.
Yeah.
And I was like, I could, like, Kathy Griffin is a blogger. So, like, why can't I be Kathy Griffin?
Because she could do it on a stage for an hour and not get nervous.
Right.
And has confidence.
I probably couldn't.
I don't know about that. You're very good on a microphone.
Thank you.
I interview a lot of people that write for a living. Ooh.
Yeah, very true.
It's very hard. Also, I'm so happy that Mindy's playing the show because
Oh, my God. I think she is hilarious.
Yeah, you know what most bands aren't? Most musicians aren't? Hilarious.
Yes,
very
they
serious.
Aren't. Well, she used to perform with my friend Wendy Ho, and they were like, oh, Wendy Ho was the fucking funniest. Mindy's very funny, too, but they were, like, a dynamic duo of, like, funny girls.
Could I ask you for a possible future date?
Sure.
You going to go to D.C. anytime soon?
No.
Damn it.
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me out, like, for a date.
No. No, the last show we did together, you said I'm too fat to be a good-looking gay guy.
I know. Aww. You looked fatter that night than you do now, even though you're... Jack.
This is so big. I haven't worn this
big.
In months, and this is like huge.
Are you
on
losing
me.
Weight?
Yeah,
you're looking good.
I'm looking okay. I'm getting to. I'm probably like a 7 or 8 in the Midwest. I'm like a fucking 9 in DC, and I'm like a 4 in New York.
The worst thing when I first moved to New York, like this, and I had no job. The saddest realization was that I'm not attractive enough to work in the service industry.
Isn't that crazy?
Like I am not cute enough to be a bartender and or a waiter.
I know.
Like I'm just
and
not.
In Chicago, it's like, what happened, you fucking fag? You lose some weight, and I go, yes.
Yes, exactly.
I want to look as much like Brian as possible.
Oh, thank you.
I
know. You've gone from, like, gay rag on a stick to, like, gay obese. So you're, like, almost there.
How many more pounds do you think? Seriously.
What?
How many more pounds?
Do you need to lose?
Yeah, to be not obese in the gay community.
Oh, well,
no matter what, I'm going to probably die overweight in the gay community.
Unless
I know that.
Unless you're, like, totally, like, ripped, like, you'll always be fat.
But I'm not trying to get ripped. I'm trying to get svelte. You know what I mean? I'm trying to lose the guts, not trying to develop abs. Or should I be doing both?
Toned.
I'm trying to be toned.
Right. Yeah, that you know, until like your stomach is totally flat, you will always be gay fat.
Laying down flat,
but
or
you're
walking
like
flat.
You're like lesbian, like skinny. You're like a lesbian Kate Moss.
Could I include that on a pull quote and a credit Gawker as the lesbian Kate Moss?
You can credit me. I don't know.
Come on, I want the Gawker Empire.
Can I tell you a little
yes,
story?
Yes, you can.
So I was watching ABC the other day because I'm a loser, and there was a commercial for the show Revenge, and it said, the best new show on television, Gawker.com, and it was something I wrote, and I was like, oh my God, I finally made it. Like, I'm on the ABC commercial. It was like the greatest moment of my career.
Did you say that sarcastically?
No, I meant it for real, because I watch Revenge, and I think it's brilliant, so I wrote about it, like, loving it. And so that's why I don't like Sam Snarky, because, like, I honestly love Revenge. Like, I think it's brilliant. And I can...
You set the bar so high with The Good Wife, and now you're throwing it all away for Revenge.
Oh, no. Revenge is fucking good.
You shut up.
You need to watch Revenge.
All right. I haven't Thank seen you. It. I apologize.
It is good. It is really good.
I'm missing this week because I'm here.
I'm
so
sorry.
You better be happy.
You own TiVo.
It was good. It was real good. I will tell you.
Okay.
Lydia dies. Spoilers.
Don't really...
I love that. That's brilliant. Could you admit that it's a really bad ad campaign then?
It was an awful ad campaign, and it was all over our webpage. And I was like, I'm not going to watch this piece of shit show. And then
it
I
looked
watched
like the
it.
Current season of One Tree Hill.
It was awful. And I found out that they were sending out press kits to TV reporters on iPads. Ooh. And then they got to, like, keep the iPad.
Did you get one of those?
No, I don't have anything. Because they're afraid we'll be mean to them. But then I was nice to them, and now I'm on the fucking commercial.
You should get a retroactive iPad.
I agree.
All right, good. Let's end this interview with a question from the Book of Questions, Love and Sex by Gregory Stock, PhD. This is an awful book. Keep in mind. Oh, it's the worst. That's why I love using it. Please pick a number between 21 and 242.
3,
double threes. Double threes. We're out of that. You get 31.
Okay.
We retire the questions.
Okay.
What little romantic attentions would please your lover most? How long has it been since you last paid them, and why don't you do so more frequently?
What little romantic attentions would please your lover most? Which lover? My current lover? My lover for later this evening?
Are they not the same?
Well, who knows?
Someone's liberal.
I mean, there's like three people in this room alone that I've had sex with.
Oh, that's so nice. That means you were able to maintain a good friendship.
I know, right?
And they came to the show.
Yeah. What little attentions would please your lover most? Well, I will say for my current man friend, his favorite thing is like he thinks that teasing is attention. Like if you make fun of him, that's like attention. And so he likes it. And so
that sounds like an ideal mate for me.
I know. It's an ideal mate for me because I'm kind of mean.
I know. So, snarky, some might say.
Yeah, exactly. Well, not really, but... Anyway, so maybe I should be a little bit more mean.
Don't do that.
How long has it been since you last paid them, and why don't you do so more frequently? Well, I said mean things to him this evening.
Aww,
so, I mean,
you care.
Exactly.
Where can people find Gawker? Yeah, like you don't know.
Gawker.com.
Follow him on Twitter. I like you on Twitter. What's your handle
on Twitter? It's at Brian J. Moylan. It's not safe for work, so be careful when you click on
it. It'll be linked on the show, so you can just find it in the show description. Please put your hands together for Brian Moylan, everybody.
You, Me, Them, Everybody wants to thank you for listening and also for subscribing to us on iTunes. We can always use the extra support, though. So why don't you say something nice about us on iTunes? Go ahead, give us a 5-star rating. This type of thing helps us out a lot and doesn't cost you a dime. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the show.
Coming to the stage is someone I've wanted to have on this show for 18 months. We've been doing this show... this talk show in Chicago for 3 years now. She's performed at the place where we do that talk show probably 10 times. The first time it worked out was 5 days after she moved to New York City. Please put your hands together, everybody, for Lauren Vino, everybody. How you doing, Lauren?
I'm good. How are you?
So now that you're gone from Chicago, is anyone there that's doing stand-up comedy relatively healthy and in shape? Is there anyone left? It's just you and a bunch of guys with coke problems now?
I think there's a couple of young people who haven't gotten fat yet.
They're not
funny,
though.
They're at 18, I think.
Yeah, that doesn't count. Why did you start doing stand-up? Because I think I met you when you first started.
Yeah, that was like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I actually was always into comedy. I started...
Oh, to the listener at home, this is an attractive woman. That's not the norm. Why were you always into comedy? What bad things happened to you young? That's what I really want to know.
I had a unibrow and didn't grow a neck until I was 10.
Really? Did you have a unibrow?
Yeah. I was a really ugly kid.
Do you still have that? Or do you have to plug a lot?
Yeah, no. It's,
really?
It's, yeah.
Because you have like a...
I'm a beast.
Your eyes aren't like close together or anything like that. You're not like... Really?
Yeah.
Do you pluck or wax?
I pluck because I'm poor.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I'm looking at it intensely. How often do you do this? Because I've been plucking recently and like I'm still in pain. I've been doing this for 15 years.
No, I don't know. It's pretty much whenever I start to look like, you know, my dad.
How much do your dad do you want to look like? If you're like, I'm going to break up with this guy, but I don't want to do it, I'll look like my dad more.
Oh, my God. I should pull the dad trigger more often, I think is the point. Like, no, I want to look like my dad when I'm walking home to my apartment late at night. Like,
yeah,
I live
in Harlem now. You know?
Would you be a handsome man, though?
Peter.
Is your dad a handsome
outsider's
man?
Outsider's perspective. We've known Lauren too long. Would she be a handsome man?
I think
no. The answer is no. I don't think you'd be. I kind of agree. You have soft features. You wouldn't be a handsome man.
Thank you. I sometimes feel very manly, which is probably why I started doing comedy.
Why did you start doing it? I know that you're a comedy fan and everything, but like, what was the impetus? I'm guessing you saw a lot of bad people and figured, oh, I could do this.
No, I was a speech nerd when I was in high school.
What?
Well, I wasn't a nerd. I did hung out with the kids. I was like one of those like floaters. Like I hung out with the kids that did drugs.
Okay.
And then I hung out with the nerdy kids that did speech team, which was like debate, but also like competitive performance stuff. Okay. And there was different individual
And I see
events.
Exactly why you went into stand-up then.
Yeah. So I did the comedy ones, and I did that all 4 years of high school.
But you had comedy debate team?
It was called like it's called forensics or like individual events or whatever. But you
where
got
did
to, like,
you go to high school?
DePaul. That's where I went to college. Buffalo Grove High School.
Is that a good high school?
It's a public school. I mean, it exists all over. Like,
really?
It's a national thing.
I am fascinated by something that most people find boring.
No, it was super dorky, but it kept me from like doing acid with the other friends that like.
And then you went to DePaul.
Yeah.
When did you graduate?
08.
How did we not run into each other?
Did you go to DePaul?
Yeah, so did Esmeralda.
Oh my God.
We're all DePaul.
It's a college in Chicago, by the way.
Chicago.
No one knows that we're talking
about. No, that's where Kanye West lives. He lives it all over Chicago.
And I worked for DePaul, too.
Really? I couldn't get a job. I was very upset. That's why I have student loans. All right, anyways. And then you started doing comedy and blah, blah, blah.
Well, I started doing improv when I was actually. I know, right?
Yeah.
I was 12, and I
Wait, you were doing improv at 12?
Yeah, I lied about my age and to get into Second City's high school like classes, which my mom completely supported, which was super fucked up because I've never been the same ever since.
Are you saying Second City runs with the bad kids or something like that?
No, it was just it wasn't that. It was just that I got to hang out like I was hanging out with 18-year-olds that all were like.
You needed a stronger parental
figure.
And,
yeah, no, it was awesome. It was awesome comedically.
Okay.
But
most people don't say that about improv classes.
Yeah, no, it was super fun. One of my one of the girls I met out there actually is one of my like still closest friends.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's like a Disney movie.
Yeah, she's an Amazon woman, like giant tall woman, and she's gonna get married to a teeny tiny little rabbi. It's awesome. It's New York.
Why did you move to New York? Did you move on Saturday? Is that right?
I moved Monday, actually. Monday. So
is great.
I moved because I had always wanted to end up in New York. I was going to be like a year from now. Mm-hmm. And then I got fired from my job for doing stand-up.
Yay!
I used to work in mental health.
Yeah.
I'm sure I've talked about it a lot.
The listener at home doesn't know.
I worked with crazy people for about 3 years. I fell into it after college. I did a lot of like crisis work.
Like most people that fall into stand-up comedy, they work with the mentally unstable.
Yeah. It was actually, I loved it. Like I would just chase crazy people around like, you know, for 40 hours a week and like, you know.
It was a blast. It sounded awesome.
It was awesome. It was really, really fun. Then I ended up working at a private place that had like, it was just like rich kids. It was like 18 to 24-year-olds with drug problems and eating disorders and like just depression and
why did you get fired from doing stand up?
I got fired because the patients started Googling me. And I don't make jokes about like them specifically.
You just call them all retarded cokeheads.
No, I make shitloads of jokes about drugs and once I started working there, I started joking a lot about eating disorders too. Like that really inspired all of my anorexic jokes. So they told on me and I got fired instantly, but couldn't stop me from getting unemployment.
Is that why you wrote about comedian personality disorder? Because of your experience in mental health?
I did. That definitely did help because I used to write mental health assessments a lot. So I kind of formatted it the same way, but tried to make it like, you know, funny.
Do you believe that it's true?
I totally, totally believe it's true.
Why? Do you think there is one healthy stand-up comedian?
I don't think it's about health per se, but to answer your question, no.
Okay, good.
To be all like, I'm not a politician. I don't know why I'm being all rhetorical.
Didn't
about
you also
it.
Keep a sex blog?
I did, but I stopped doing it because it was kind of like more of a. It was more of a series of sex essays about which kind of. I was in a long-distance relationship, and it was kind of just like me.
Oh, is that the one you... Yeah. I either know one of your bits about this, or I follow you on Twitter, and I know about it. Is that the one where he broke up with you, like, as you were leaving after meeting the parents? Is that the
yes,
one?
Yes, on the phone.
Could you tell that story really quickly?
Yes, no, actually, I've been trying to... this is the best, actually. Like, we're actually friends now, even though...
Why?
It's terrible.
Masochist.
Because I'm a comedian.
Yay!
No, But here's the thing. I met this dude, and we flirted and we're dating other people. And then we started, like, kind of, like, having phone sex long distance. And basically, a lot of my vlogs were just, like, about, like, kind of, like, accidentally falling in love with someone while having phone sex and talking with them on the phone.
The age-old story.
Yeah, super, yeah, very, very old-fashioned, you know what I mean? So then we actually, like, we did the long distance thing, like back and forth. I went out there, and then he invited me to go on a trip to Tennessee because he's a comic.
Do we know him?
I don't think you do. But
Chicago guy?
No.
Where's he from? where does he live now?
I'm not gonna listen to this. He lives here now. Actually,
what's his name?
I'm not gonna say it. But he's from Baltimore originally and lived in LA, but we met
in
Chicago.
This is not gonna be hard to figure out. Peter, who lives in who's from the DC scene that lives here now? It's not Seton.
Who lives here?
No.
He lives here now. He's from Baltimore.
Oh, is this?
Yeah, we know Peter's from the Virginia, Maryland. Oh, area.
Steve Martin.
Totally.
Was it Steve Martin?
I knew it.
Nailed it. No, but here, like, basically I went out to Tennessee and he was featuring for someone else and we did the whole, parents thing. His brothers and sister came, his sister came in from England for this. Like,
oh my God.
Like, she was already in town. She didn't come in for it, but like her, and like all of this stuff. And then, so spent the whole weekend. It was fine. But then like one of the last nights I, got offered to do a guest set.
Oh, cool.
But it was in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Wasn't it his show?
No. We met in Tennessee. Because we were long distance. So I do a guest set. And I mean, I wasn't that new at stand up, but I was definitely new to clubs and okay. definitely new to.
Yeah, you used to run an alt room in Chicago. Like,
yeah.
Very mm-hmm. fun.
Yeah, it was super fun.
You're not selling nachos, you're trying to work on a craft.
Yeah, and this is a southern club. Like, yeah. Just a bunch of fat, conservative southerners.
Yeah.
And I do 5 minutes, and they tell me to do, like, 5 clean minutes, but it, like, so basically, long story short, I bombed in front of his family. But but it was like, it wasn't even the kind of like just not doing well bombing. It was the kind of bombing where about halfway through you panic and then for some reason start saying all these jokes you stop telling because they're not funny anymore. Like, you basically say everything you don't stand behind, like, you know what I mean? Like, I was basically going down with the ship. And yeah, he dumped me, like, the next day on the phone.
That is so great.
Have you seen him?
Yes,
since he's
I've
here?
Seen him. And I'm, like, I'm glad we're not dating. Like, it's one of those things where I'm glad I had that experience.
Yeah.
So it's, like, it was more, I, like, yeah, like, I guess I could be, but, like, it was more of an exercise in, like, in, yeah. in,
an exercise in
what? Emotional
chaos.
Out.
Okay,
there you go. Maybe that, but, yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, that's the definition of fun, going to Tennessee to bomb in front of parents you just met.
But yeah, no, I think it's one of my favorite stories. It still makes everybody else really uncomfortable. But yeah, it's been over a year. I'm cool with it. No.
And you're in New York now. How's
Harlem
treating
you? Yeah,
he's
bald, you know. So.
Peter.
Wait, is he bald because he shaved his head or is he balding?
Second one. Bye-bye.
This guy from Rush is getting back into it. So wait a second. Peter, let's narrow it down now. He's bald. He's from Baltimore. He lives in New York now. It's not Steve Martin because he has hair. Who do you think it is?
From Baltimore.
Yeah, we got Baltimore.
We got Baltimore, Rush. We're good. Listen, we're from the States, okay, everybody? I like this guy a lot, by the way. Would you date him, by the way?
Who
Are you single right now?
The Russian.
I am.
Would you date the Russian?
Sure.
All right, cool. Let's make
He's
it
like,
happen.
Hello.
Tell your friends, everybody.
I am toying with the idea of celibacy, though. So
I think the Russian guy might be one of the three guys that
they hooked up with. He's playing the field. Anyways.
Can I talk about... I know I wasn't going to do stand-up, but can I talk about one thing I'm writing about,
though? Hurry up. No, I'm sorry. I'm just talking with you.
Have you guys heard about, like, this thing called a rape condom?
Yeah.
Okay.
With the spikes on it?
Yeah! It's like...
Wait, you shouldn't be that excited.
No, if you...
Is that why you moved to Harlem to try it out?
No, I just learned about it because I'm like... No, it's like, but like...
I got a second wave of laughter. I didn't do anything.
I know. It's a female condom and it's got like spikes and hooks in it. Like, it's terrifying, right?
Yeah.
But the thing I
for like, the man specify the spikes are on the outside.
No, it's also terrifying for the woman. What if it malfunctions?
Well, no. The terrifying thing about it is that like you, it has to be removed by a doctor. I was reading about it. So if you're wearing the rape condom, you're wearing it all the time.
Yeah.
Like, which is like
a lot of Christian dads giving their daughter rape condoms, and that's why the Christian girls like the butt.
That was my point. Like, I mean, like it's such brilliant. A emphasis on protecting one area. You leave the butthole completely open for attack. You know,
rape is never think about buttholes.
Yeah, that's like prime rape real estate.
I know. You know? That's the boardwalk to the vagina's Park Place.
Exactly.
Like, I know. 350 to 400. 400's more, idiots. You know.
It's just. I was like, I'm not gonna do the rape condom. I'm gonna stick to not getting raped the old-fashioned way by like holding my keys like a Wolverine.
Damn
like,
right. That's just good life advice. We're dishing out a lot of good life advice.
No, but
tonight.
But having to wear it all the time. My point is that like I don't think like having to wear a rape condom all the time wouldn't make me feel safer. It would like just make me feel really impatient about not being raped. You know what I mean?
All right, stop doing material.
Okay, I'm sorry. That's all I want to get out of.
That's really good, but like, come on.
I know, but I did want to just bring it up because it's, yeah.
It was on everyone's mind. You got to talk about the current events of the day.
Yeah, no, I just learned about it. It's very fresh for me.
Oh, we gotta wrap this up.
Okay.
You can't.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Listen,
you gotta
guy
be
from
careful.
Russia, this is America. We know how to insert our rape condoms the right way. All right. The directions come in English and Spanish, not other. I like this guy. I need you to pick a number between 21 and 240.
21 to 40?
240.
240, okay. 73.
Why 73?
I have no idea.
I like that answer.
I think the juvenile part of me thought 69, and we're like, let's just add a couple.
Don't.
You know?
You didn't. That's been taken. You get 75. Do you find emotional or physical pain more difficult to handle? For example, would you suffer more by going through life afflicted with severe recurring migraines or by having your heart broken again and again?
I mean, I find emotional pain more productive, I guess, is...
what if you could combine the two? Maybe with a certain condom. I'm sorry, that was stupid. That was awful. I apologize. That was the worst.
That was like the best rape commercial condom ever, or rape condom commercial. Sorry, I forgot the key word there. No one's advertising rape. But
how is it the one show where there's like a gay dude, a lady, and a lady, and a lady, and me? This is the most rape we've talked about ever. How is that possible?
I'm really not a rapey person. It just kind of, like, this is just like a thing in my head that like I needed to get out.
Welcome to the hostel, everybody. Remember that horror film? Welcome.
Lauren Vino is not rapey.
Yeah, that's...
That's the quote.
Gawker, yes. Will you publish that?
In my bio.
Yeah, they'll publish that. There you go. That's a good thing to have in your bio.
Not rapey, but yeah.
It's a good for or bachelorette party. No, don't say... No, Jesus Christ. Time to plug. Where can people find you?
Twitter. I'm on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook.
Okay.
And
what's your name? Lauren Vino.
Lauren Vino, yeah. Yeah.
We're going to talk off the microphones about your actual last name.
Okay.
Bye. Okay. Lauren Vino, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, thanks for listening to You, Me, Them, Everybody. It would be awfully kind of you to consider donating to keep this show alive. But we understand that money may be tight right now. So if you can't donate, please sign up on our mailing list. We promise it's not too annoying. Thanks for listening. And now back to the show.
I like coming to New York because I get to meet all sorts of interesting new people. One of those interesting new people is coming to the stage right now. I'm not exactly sure who she is. I'm not exactly sure why she's here. But she's here, so we're going to take advantage of the time and the place. And just like the condom that Lauren was talking about, you need to be prepared for everything. Wow, that's a weird way to bring somebody up. Please put your hands together, everybody, for Libya Rogers, everybody.
Thank you. It's Libya Rogers. Libya.
I apologize.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I got a lot. Oh, the mic's not staying up. Hold on. Everyone stay with me. Don't leave me now. We've come so far. We've come so far. You guys, people are here. Scream. Give a round of applause for everybody who's been talking and emoting and being funny and being interesting and sexy and delicious. Give it up for Brian's mustache, which is just, it's amazing. I've been trying to grow a stache for like 16 years. And I got a bissel of stubble, that's Yiddish for a little bit, but it keeps falling off. And I can't get the stache to get thick, so I don't believe in chemically altering my nature if I don't need to emotionally, so I am hair-free on my face right now. I actually ran on the subway, you remember?
I do.
It was the 2 train. I was singing a PSA for the MTA, and I moved my elbow for choreography. I punched him right in the gut, and he did not cry. He actually laughed, and he invited me to come do some music on the show. So I brew my own beer. This is it. Please see me after to buy some. For those of you listening, when I get my info, you can get it via PayPal. Also, I found a book on the floor at this hostel. It's called The History of Thailand. And before I start my music, which is amazing, I wanted to read some of the facts I found about Thailand out in the style of a beat poem, if you don't mind. I like to stay in the moment. I like to have moments and not no-ments, and this is a moment. So you're fucking welcome. This is about the 24 articles of the formal agreement between Thailand and Great Britain and India, and I think it can be surmised in the following headings. The supply of rice Thailand would make available to Great Britain a maximum of 1.5 million tons of rice free of charge. Compensation would be paid by Thailand for various properties seized from the British during the war. Thank you. Okay. Usually I move around a lot and sit in people's laps, but we're recording, and if my guitar's not picked up, that'd be a fucking shame, because I play so amazing. So I'll just stay right here. Yeah. Hey, yeah, howdy-ho, So my name is Livia Rogers. As you guys probably can tell, I'm sure your ears have probably already like perked up to the fact that I am a singer-songwriter. I'm also a vegan activist.
And a poet.
I also work part-time as a freelance ice sculptor. And I also do a lot of earth-friendly, non-competitive ice dancing. I dabble a little bit, multimedia art installations. Oh, I also work right now as a full-time chef, actually.
In my apartment in Brooklyn.
What else? Oh, I do volunteer cat rescuing on Sundays. And you guys will be thrilled to know that I'm also a trained kabuki actress. So you're welcome. Mostly what I do is I take people's souls and I suck them into my body via my music. And then I let them sit inside my body, mostly my womb, but sometimes my shoe. And I let your soul marinate for however long it needs to marinate. And then I push it back out. A little more pure. I just pushed 4 souls out just now. They just totally, you guys don't even know it. It's very, it's a natural thing. But tomorrow you'll feel different. You'll wake up and you'll feel like a flower. You once were a weed and you didn't know that what you needed was me. Another way I do that is by music. So this first song is called Labia Spills Freedom.
My long armpit hair says fuck you all you pretties, and my body odor is like my fingerprint ID, and my hard mind won't go soft like an erection, and my tampon smells like freedom. Freedom. My tampon smells like freedom. The hemp around my neck, it strangles my dependence, and the dirt under my nails, it connects me to the earth, and my faux suede Birkenstocks, they crush the big male ego, and my nipples taste like tofu. My nipples taste like tofu. And I won't eat anything with a face or suck on anything that tastes like a man. No, nothing that casts a shadow. Nothing with feathers, nothing with fur, nothing that casts a shadow. No dairy, scary, size, joy. Size, joy. So it's like Christmas. I'm always right, I'm never wrong. I'm always right, I'm never wrong. Learn my lyrics, live my songs, and then you can be free like me. 'Cause labia's free, and labia's spreading the love. Labia spreading the love. Bean curd, listen up all. Vegans will go to heaven all. Vegans are God's children. All vegans will go to heaven. All vegans are God's children. And hell tastes just like a cup of Starbucks coffee with cream. Thank you.
Sorry, I had to itch my tits before. Oh, I also, I breed silkworms and cotton, and I make these shrugs. If anyone wants one after, please see me. Before I go into my next song, I wanted to do a couple short haiku, just to transition. Actually, the first haiku I want to do, I just wrote in the back for Lauren. Hi. Your beautiful hair and skin. I don't know where it is. Where's the haiku? I can do it on the fly. It's about your old unibro. 575. Lauren, grow your unibrow back. It's facial happy trail, please. Thank you. Halloween is coming up right now as we're recording this, so I'd like to do a haiku about Halloween. This is called What Labia Rogers Was for Halloween in 1992. The girls in my class went as non-feminist whores. I was the plumber, thank you. This haiku is called Thanksgiving Dinner at Libby Rogers' House. Thanksgiving is coming up. Soy milk in the glass, a tofurkey in the oven, more bean curd gravy. Thank you. And this last haiku is called Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day is coming up. Isn't everything coming up? That's the good thing about holiday material. This is called Valentine's Day. Meisner. Cupid's just a man who shoots his hard arrow through innocent women. Thank you. This next song is called I Can't Believe I Douched For You. So many microphones here. I'm so used to playing outdoors, so this is... It's really strange. I'm just like, don't just keep the guitar towards the mic. Usually I just play, you know, for God's mic. And she amplifies me, let me tell you.
Sitting here, all alone, wearing matching clothes. I'm sitting here, all alone, smelling like a rose. I'm sitting here, drinking beer, my recycled paper cup. And I can't believe you knew what I did and you still stood me up. I can't believe I dashed for you. No, I can't believe I dashed for you. I smell like lilac. I smell like a fucking summer's eve. You said maybe I'd try it, just buy it, buy it, and I'm not lonely. But I'm sitting here all alone like a sweet smelling bitch. I'm starting to itch. I itch, I itch. I can't believe I dashed for you. No, I can't believe, believe I dashed just for you. Dashed just for you. Dashed just for you.
Thank you. I have a vinyl album out. Maybe I'll plug it after I do this last song. Is that okay, Ren?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. I just wanted to let you guys know in case you're like, oh, I have a record player at home. I really want to listen to this on vinyl. Oh, I hope that's possible. It fucking is. You can listen to this on vinyl live. It's a live show, and you can pretend you were there. Or maybe you were there, and you're stalking me. If so, that's awesome. This song I recently played my little cousin's friend's birthday party, and I didn't even get to finish it because all of the little boys started crying halfway through, which I think is a good sign for any folk song. This is called the F word.
This is a song for all the ladies, for all the ladies here. But there are only two ladies here. The rest of the room is full of men, so please go home and tell the lady that you know. Hey, all you ladies, listen up, listen up. Labia's got something to say to you, and I guess just to you. And if there was someone in the back, then I'd be like, I have to tell this to you too. Are you pretty? Do you care about how you look? Do you comb your hair in the morning? Do you wear high heels? Do you paint your face? Do you put on perfume? Do you want to be beautiful? 'Cause if you do, well then, fuck you, you're not a feminist. You're not a feminist like me. Do you wear those high heels? Is your boyfriend hot? Does he watch sports all the time? And does he talk about the games at parties? do you give him? Oral sex. Well, guess what? Blowjobs are the foe of Revolution XX. You're not a feminist. No. You're not a feminist like me. So listen up now. Oh, feminists, they look like me. And all feminists, they sing like me. And oh, feminists have a say day on an indie label, a super small indie label. And oh, feminists, they don't eat meat. And all feminists drink herbal tea with a Buddhist quotes on the boxes that they copy down in their recycled notebooks. That's just what we do.
Spent.
Labia, will you come on a microphone really quick before you get out of here? Do you want to talk really quick, or are you busy?
Do you want me to talk as Labia or my manager?
No, I wanted to interview Labia.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
Well, here's the thing about you, Labia. I pronounced your name
Labia.
Exactly. It's spelled Labia. Why is it pronounced Labia? What is it on the birth certificate?
It's spelled Labia.
I don't think you know how to read Labia.
It's L for the listeners who are Googling right now. I'll go slow. Okay, are you at your browser? Okay. Are you using... Don't use Explorer. It's terrible. Are you a Mozilla or something? Okay. I have a solar-powered computer, so I only have one browser. It's MoonWeb, but I'm sure that your browser works. Okay, so type in L...
Yes.
E...
Yes.
I...
Yes.
B... Mm-hmm. Y... A... Rogers, and that's Labia.
Okay.
It's a weird like pronunciation.
Yeah.
So, it's the vowel sounds are pronounced differently for folk musicians.
I didn't know that. I'm learning a lot. Well, one of the things about you, Labia, that I enjoy is you seem very free, but you seem very itchy at the same time.
You mean because I itch my tits a lot?
And other parts.
I have to say that I think women for so many years have fought the battle of. Like wanting to itch but not feeling like it's socially acceptable.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's right before we got the rights to vote. I feel like we should have had the right
okay.
to itch in public. So
yeah.
One of my main things I fight for, along with making males' role in procreation mute, is the women's right and to feel like comfortable itching their teat in public.
Okay.
So if you're riding on the subway or if you're walking down the street and your nipple itches or your tit itches or your, like, you know, your power saucer is what I sometimes like to call it, just itch it. Or sometimes you have vag itches. I just think if something itches, you should itch it. Men too, but I feel like suffer. But I feel like women should itch it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I itch a lot because my skin is so excited to hear my music.
See, I thought it was because you might not put your body under water and soap at an appropriate pace.
No, I make my own soap.
Oh, you make your own soap?
Cleanliness
I didn't know that.
Is next to folkness.
I make my own soap.
Yeah.
Okay.
I also make my own fecal matter face wash.
So is it kind of like a compost pile? Like the longer it sits, the more effective it is? Or is it a thing where there's a sell-by date where you need to use it as quickly as possible?
I don't believe anything expires.
Oh, that's good to know.
But I know that in this day and age, a lot of things are made with chemicals, so things expire.
You're not a fan of chemicals?
No. Well, natural. Some chemicals are natural,
really?
Some aren't. I'm not a scientist. I have an assistant, Clover, who does all my scientific brewing.
Really?
So I don't want to sit here and be like, oh, I know sodium, blah, 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 blah. I just know how
salt.
It feels on my skin
yeah.
and what it exfoliates and what it doesn't.
So fecal matter is good for the face.
It is. Don't listen to the FDA.
That's good advice.
Don't, but only use your own fecal matter because it's different.
You don't have to answer this question. It's very personal.
Okay.
But I'm an engaged man. I'm engaged to a woman.
You're engaged.
I'm engaged to a woman.
Oh my gosh. Congratulations.
Wait, maybe not for long. You're a very... I think you're the type of woman that I should be marrying.
Oh.
But I don't know if it's appropriate to ask on a microphone in front of a crowd if it would be nice. Would you like to go get a scotch and a steak with me is what I'm really trying to ask.
Are you asking me to eat this? First of all, I could watch you eat the steak, but I would be cutting you while you ate it. But I... Just because I feel like you should suffer as much as the cow did. But,
okay, so you're saying we can't feast...
But the scotch I could drink. But if you're implying that we should eat and drink together...
Yes.
Perhaps to have genital relations...
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that. Not because you're a man, because some men are pure, but because you are engaged and I think that...
No, I'm throwing her
emotional bonds
under the bus.
Should not be broken.
That's only 8 years in. I could get rid of her to pick
eight
you up.
8 years?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Eight is the number for eternity. You should not let that go.
What if we get to nine? What if we once we hit the 9-year anniversary because I dump her then and go out with you?
Honestly, I've been in a relationship with my manager, press agent, roommate, partner, old college roommate, and soul sister Clover Barnkern for like 14 years. So
all right.
I can't break that bond. But I can tell as a male,
yeah,
you're an open person and you're free. And so I think we could be like platonic, poetic partners.
Well, do you like cocaine? Can we do some coke after the show?
I don't stimulate my body in anything but words and music, but I would watch you do the cocaine.
I thought you were a big fan. That's why you're on the show, because I thought you were really into drugs.
No, the coke I had in the subway was actually stolen. It was an intervention.
I thought that's what...
I'm sorry.
Oh,
I feel like I've let you down. You had me on, and I won't fuck you. I won't do drugs with you. I won't eat steak with you.
Why do I even have a talk show at this point? This is pointless.
I don't know. Maybe we you know what we could do? We could color in some mandalas.
No, I'm good. No, I'm good. You like guns? Let's go shoot things.
I'm sorry?
Guns. You like guns? You like murder and stuff like that?
If it's justified.
No, it's not. No.
Self-defense.
Younger people.
We want to talk about some issues you have with steak and murder and do you want to kill somebody?
No, that's
do you have
just,
anger?
Those are how I spend my Sundays, and then I watch football.
Do you hunt?
You like football? Yeah, I hunt.
Oh, really?
I breathe. Of course I hunt.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't hunt? I thought everyone in New York hunted. This is the Windy City.
I hunt for melodies.
Exactly, that's why we were bonding so much.
And I hunt for feral cats that I need to feed.
Oh, you feed the cats?
I do. Well, first I clean them, I feed them, but hunting with the intention of killing...
You don't even like look at the carcass once it's dead. Like you don't eat it. You just you eat something else that was in a factory because that's why you know it's clean. You have to murder... And then go to, like, a Walmart and buy the, like, really good meat.
I didn't know you were such an alpha male. You've got a suit on, your legs are crossed, you've got those nice hipster shoes on.
I know.
You've got a clean beard, beautiful glasses.
I do have a clean beard.
Gorgeous skin, great hair.
Yeah.
You were talking with Brian, and now I feel like you've turned into, like, the frat boy who tried to take me up to his room to listen to music my sophomore year in Wisconsin, but it wasn't music he wanted to listen to. Okay, I'm sorry. I totally had a post-traumatic. I'm sorry.
You know, thanks, Lauren's got some products that might be good for you.
Oh, I invented that rape condom in 72. 1972, bro.
How old are you? You've aged remarkably well.
Age is a number, poetry is a word.
You know who else thought that was R. Kelly? That's why he married some lady at 14.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, listen, love is love.
Isn't it?
I don't know. I don't like to judge other people. I don't know R. Kelly, but I like the name Kelly. If I had a daughter, maybe I'd name her that.
You having kids? You want to have some kids?
With you?
Yeah.
I don't know. Football, steak, hunting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I believe that... I wouldn't need your semen. I'm working on a chemical.
You're working on a lot of stuff right now.
When you're so smart, I'm working
on
to create femen. It's a female semen. I've been working on it since 74, actually.
Really?
So I would use your semen if the femen doesn't work. But I have a feeling femen. It's coming.
Oh. All right.
All
right, Labia.
I appreciate that. Maybe we'll have kids.
I feel rejected beyond belief.
Let's they'd have beautiful skin and beautiful eyes. I'm just saying, he's a good-looking dude, right? I mean,
now,
come on.
We're going to end this interview with a book of questions, ooh. Love and Sex by Gregory Stack, PhD.
Gregory, asshole.
Why is he an asshole?
I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like the pink color of the book, neon pink, because it's about sex.
Sure. Please pick a number between 21 and 242.
240.
All right.
Excuse me.
240.
240. Oh, it's available.
It is available.
That's right, bitches. I'm original. Nobody pick my number.
Can you recall any sexual or erotic experiences you had as a child? If so, how do you think these experiences continue to affect your life today?
Okay, I was 8 years old. I'm sorry. Can I have a moment?
Take as much time as you need.
Okay, I was 8 years old, and I was listening to Barbra Streisand's Back to Broadway album, because my mom had gotten it for me. And she was singing that song, Everybody Says Don't, Everybody Says Don't. And then I was remembering this talk I had with my guidance counselor where she said don't when I was itching / touching my genitalia during math class.
Wait, during what class?
Math.
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 I heard women aren't good with numbers. Is that true?
I don't like to generalize about gender, but I'm sure some are and some aren't.
Okay. Were you good?
I was very good with mathematics.
Are you sure?
Pretty good, and music theory, too. It goes hand in hand. But at the same time, I was so good at it that it turned me on, which is why I was touching
I see.
My power
I see
place.
Your pee-pee.
My power place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, what are we... I'm sorry, I don't know what we're talking about. I just got so wet. I don't know what we're talking about.
So it affected you in a good way.
Oh, so I was listening to Barbra Streisand.
You were 8 years old in class.
I was at home listening to Barbra's Back to Broadway, and she said, everybody says don't. It reminded me of a class when
okay,
my teacher
I'm
said
with
don't,
you.
And I touched myself.
Got it.
I got turned on. I rocked myself out to Babs, and I realized that I can't go back to musical theater, and I started to sing folk.
Oh.
And that's... I feel like I shared a true moment, and I wasn't planning to, and I feel vulnerable right now.
Good. That's how I like them.
But it was fun.
Listen, you were okay.
What?
That was okay performance.
Oh, thank you.
It was pretty okay. Do you have anything you want to plug, or maybe plug a friend, someone that you think might be worthy of a plug?
Sure. Well, I have a vinyl record out. It's 12 beautiful inches, and... you can buy the vinyl album. There's a little download card that comes with it if you don't have a record player. And you can go to my Bandcamp page, which is leibyarogers.bandcamp.com to get the record. And if you want to find out more about me, you can go to Mindy Raff, that's RAF, like Royal Air Force, .com. To find out more info.
So it's mindyraff.com.
Yeah.
Labia. All right.
Yeah.
Do you think, you learned anything tonight?
I did.
I think I learned a lot about you.
I really appreciate you having me on. I really do. I never get book shows. I'm just in my apartment,
singing. I am shocked.
I really appreciate being here for real. I thought everyone was amazing, and it's been a good night, I think. Are you happy with how it went?
Well, besides you not getting steak with me, it was pretty good.
I'm sorry.
It was pretty, you know, you try.
Nothing personal.
I guess I'll get married to the woman I've been dating
What's
for 8
name?
Years. Kelsey.
Kelsey.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful name.
Yeah. And are you trying to get in on this shit?
No, I'm just saying the k sound and the e is a beautiful combo. I'm being honest.
Could I use that in our vows?
Yeah, you could. I could write a song for you. I do
would
wedding
you,
songs.
Would you possibly write us a wedding song?
I would love to write you a wedding song.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm dead as serious.
It's got to be about the Chicago Bears.
Oh, you mean the Bears, like the big men or the... I went to a bear
both.
Convention at the
I
hotel.
I want both.
And,
could okay. you make it about the big...
The Knickerbocker Hotel in 2006 at the Knickerbocker Hotel. There was a bear convention. It was amazing.
I wanted it to be about Bears that are football fans of the Bears.
And about you and Kelsey.
That's how we got together.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you send me a couple paragraphs, I will write you a wedding song.
Fantastic.
I will. I totally will. All right.
You know, I'm going to leave her on my wedding night to come and find you. We can get steak. I don't really want to have sex. I just want to eat steak with you. I'm into steak right now.
I'll watch you eat steak and whack off. I don't care.
This is fun. I think we got our pull quote for the evening.
I want to make you happy because I had so much fun tonight. So I would watch you do it.
Well, Labia, I appreciate you showing up.
Thanks.
Go to MindyRaff.com.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. That was an extremely fun show, everybody. I'm so glad we got to hang out and people got to see stuff. How do you think it went, Merle?
I think it went great.
It did go good. Peter, how do you think it went?
Good.
Go to the mic. Listen, you're an adult. You deserve a microphone. You did a great job tonight.
Thanks. I think it's going a little long.
No. We're staying for another 3 hours. What do you think about Manhattan? Do you like being in Manhattan?
Manhattan?
Yeah, what about Manhattan do you like?
You know what I like about Manhattan?
What do you like about Manhattan?
That it's it's Brooklyn.
I love Brooklyn.
That's what I like.
No sleep till Queens, they say.
That's what I say.
Queens Boulevard in the Bronx.
Boogie down.
Thanks for coming, everybody. Have a wonderful night.
Damn it.
Follow us on Twitter at YMTE. Friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/youmethemeverybody. And for details on Monday and Tuesday nights at the Hungry Brain, go to youmethemeverybody.com.